Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode. Are you a loner? More so, have you ever suffered from loneliness? Have you ever been lonely in a room full of people? I know I have. Since COVID, people have become more isolated. People started working from home back then, and in many cases that has continued. It's just become easier not to interact in person. The number of single households has doubled in the last 60 years. People just seem more content now than ever to be alone. But we were made for relationship. Don't get me wrong, I'm not downing those that live alone. So many people I know are perfectly content living alone. It's isolation and loneliness that I'm talking about. Research shows that loneliness is the health risk equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes every single day. If you find yourself isolated and lonely, are you willing to take a risk and make a change? Perhaps no one felt more isolated and alone than the woman from the Bible who had the issue of blood. One day, Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter when suddenly he had an encounter with this desperate woman. Luke 8, verse 42 says, "As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. 'Who touched me?' Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me.' Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, and I love this part, 'Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace.' For 12 long years, this woman had endured a flow of blood that in itself would have been horrible. But the worst part was that she was isolated, because in that culture she was considered unclean. She sought medical help, but her condition worsened and she was left with desperation. Finally, driven by hope, she decided to take a risk. She heard about Jesus, and doesn't that make all the difference? She approached him. She believed that a simple touch of his garment would heal her. She stepped out to escape her loneliness. And boy, did she start with the right person. She went straight to Jesus, straight to God. That's where we should start when we're seeking friendship, when we're seeking an escape from our isolation and loneliness. How important is relationship to God? Well, in John 14:23, Jesus said it, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Relationship is so important to God that he made man. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." That's Revelation 3:20. And the most profound of all is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Jesus loved us so much that he would rather die than live without us. And he showed us when he went to the cross. How can we develop our relationship with God? How can we grow that intimacy? Well, It starts with obedience. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." You know, what happens if we as a child of God are continually disobedient? I know through my life there have been many lessons that God has taught me. There have been times I didn't get it the first time, but He is patient and He has continually worked to help me understand. My friend Marie Koth has always said, if a child of God is disobedient, God will get out a 2x4. If that doesn't work, sometimes He gets out a 4x4. You get the picture. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want a 4x4. I strive to be obedient, but sometimes I miss it altogether. Obedience is about respect. It's about trust. The Bible says many times that we're to fear God, but in my opinion, it's not what you might think. We fear who we believe is in charge of what happens to us. Because God is a loving Father, we can trust His love, and we can know that He has our best interest at heart. Even when it hurts sometimes, He's always working for our good and for His glory in our lives. Another key to intimacy with God is prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 tells believers to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Man, that's hard sometimes. The only way we can do that is through continual prayer. After all, what kind of relationship can you have with someone if you never talk to them? It's the same with God. And when we pray, we need to ask Him questions. James 1:5-6 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." Why is asking questions needed for intimacy with God when He already knows what we're thinking? First, it shows our effort in communication. It's how we learn His will. We have not because we ask not. It's important to our intimacy with God to have the right theology, to have the right understanding. This is found through Bible study and reading God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." This gives us an understanding of His character. It deepens our ability to really know Him. If you have a friend and you don't know anything truly about them, how can you become intimate friends? Being set apart helps us to grow closer to God as well. 1 Peter 1:15-16 says, "But as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Can we really be holy? Only by being a child of God. Only by being covered by the blood of Jesus. That's what makes us holy. It's not that we're showing the world that we're better than them in any way. It's showing that there's a difference in us because Christ lives in us. The Bible says that we're to be equally yoked with our partner. Often it's a non-Christian that brings a Christian down. It's important that we stand firm in our faith and that shows to the world who we are, a daughter of God. Studying God's Word brings us closer to Him because He speaks through it. Psalm 56:10 says, "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me?" We can find our strength and hope in the Word of God and in His promises. He loves it when we pray Scripture back to Him as well. We are empowered through the Holy Spirit in developing intimacy with God. We are strengthening our roots in His love. It helps us to understand how deeply He loves us. This understanding allows us to experience the true love of Christ, to reflect His character, and to live a fulfilled and abundant life. Mark 12:30 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." I never realized that this truly was a command. God commands us to have relationship with Him. And further than that, He commands us to have relationship with others. Mark 12:31 says, "The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." You know, you can't love your neighbor if you don't first love God. It only comes through Him that we can love each other as God intended. And it works the other way around. There's a popular Rhonda Vincent song that's a remake of an old hymn. It's entitled, "If You Don't Love Your Neighbor, Then You Don't Love God." These two work hand in hand. But who is your neighbor? Is it that aggravating guy that lives next door who lets his dog poop in your yard every time he walks through? Or is it that new girl at work that you clearly have nothing in common with? Is it your lifelong dearest friend? That one's an easy one. Or is it your human enemy? Is it the Muslim on the other side of the world who believes that Christians are their worst enemy? Yes, 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 and yes. A neighbor is anyone who needs your compassion and kindness, regardless of their background, location, or relationship to you. Now, who would that include? We are all in desperate need of compassion and kindness. Love your neighbor as yourself. Would you say you love yourself? Before you answer, remember that love is an action word. And hopefully you feed yourself, you take care of yourself when you're sick, you make sure you get enough sleep, you make sure you aren't taken advantage of. Now let's be honest, if you're cold, do you put a coat on your body? If you're sweating, do you take your jacket off? My, we sure are needy. Others are needy too. And if we're to love them like we love ourselves, are we really willing to care for others like we care for our own bodies? Remember, it's a commandment, maybe the toughest one for us. All the way back in Genesis, God had a plan for people to have relationship with one another. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." You know, we are made in God's image. What does that truly tell us about the nature and character of God? He didn't want to be alone either. That's why He made Adam. That's why He made you and me. Several years ago, we did a survey for the women's ministry. We asked, in what ways can the women's ministry facilitate making new friends? And someone answered, "I don't need any friends." Later, I found out that it was a joke, and that was her dry sense of humor. But how true is it for us, really, if we're honest? Are we content to be alone? Are we content to have that one friend? Do you have your bestie or your immediate family and that's enough? According to God's word, is that okay with God? Maybe your heart's been crushed and you don't want to put it out there. It's risky, but it's so worth it. And it's what God commands us to do. Take a minute and think about this question. Do you have your people? If not, why not? Would you like to have more friends, true friends that you can be vulnerable with, that you can pour into, that can and will pour into you? Do you ever feel alone in a crowd? Would you like that to be different? What can you do about it? According to philosopher Zig Ziglar, there are three C's in life: choices, chances, and changes. You must make a choice to take a chance, or your life will never change. This is true both with the relationship we have with God and with the relationship we have with other people. You have to make a choice to accept Jesus Christ and take a chance that you'll be rejected by your friends and family, or your life will never change for you to become a child of God. To get new friends, you have to make a choice to step out, even though it's risky, even though you risk rejection or being hurt again. But you have to take a chance or your life won't change. Look at the next years of your life. Do you want to keep your same set of friends and not expand your circle? God tells us to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's everyone. My first suggestion is to be in a Bible-believing church. And how can you get connected there? You can join a group, a Sunday school class, a Bible study group, or a Connect group. After someone gets saved, this should be the first step in helping them find their people. In Acts 2, the Bible describes Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell on the apostles. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. They immediately began discipling the new converts and the church began. Spiritual growth and discipleship starts in one of these groups. You can participate in church events like social events, potlucks, or other activities to meet people outside of the regular Sunday service. I suggest being active in church activities like ministry teams, youth groups, mission groups. Spend time at church-related activities so you can meet like-minded individuals. And volunteer. Serving alongside others in various activities can provide opportunities to connect and build relationships. What better way to grow closer to someone else than working side by side to help someone in need? This is an idea that I had. Initiate conversations. I think it would be great if we made it a point to meet someone new every week or every time we're in service and make it a point to talk with them the next time we see them. We should show interest in them first and then share about ourselves. By the end of the year, if you do this once a week, you could connect with 52 people that you don't know right now. We can make connection-friendly habits like lingering. Come early and stay after. What better opportunity to strike up a conversation with someone you don't know or to continue a relationship and grow it with someone that you've just met. Don't always be in a rush to get away after church. Don't miss an opportunity to grow a new friend. We all need each other. We should make an effort to connect on purpose. Don't just attend church. Actively seek out opportunities to connect with other people. We can pray for opportunities. Ask God to guide you in meeting new people and building meaningful relationships. Most importantly, we have to be persistent, and we have to be patient, and we have to be forgiving. Building friendships takes time and effort. Sometimes they don't click. Sometimes people say things that will hurt us. Sometimes we'll put our hearts out there and be rejected. But it's not just a choice if you're a child of God. It's a commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Another great way to grow closer to God and closer to someone else is to pursue a mentoring relationship. In addition to the other commandments, one commandment was so important that Jesus stayed after his resurrection and gave his followers this command. It was Jesus' last commandment, and it should be our first priority. It's called the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This command to make disciples is for everyone. Yes, you heard me right. It's for every Christian, even the newest. We're all commanded to go and make disciples. If you're a brand new Christian and you don't know anything but to read the book of John, then share that with someone else. If John made a difference to you, it'll make a difference to them. As we talk about developing relationships, the mentoring step comes next. A mentor knows one, shows one, and grows one. Truly, we all need a mentee, and we all need a mentor. We have someone we follow and someone who follows us. Our church has a good discipleship training program called Downline Discipleship that I thoroughly recommend. Mentoring is more focused on helping the mentee to grow in her walk, but surely it helps the mentor to grow as well. I've never taught with a mentor who hasn't grown and been blessed by mentoring someone else. Discipleship is when two people are devoted to helping each other in growing the kingdom and in their walk with the Lord. After all, we're all just walking each other home. The woman with the issue of blood, in desperation, sought Jesus. He freed her from her isolation. and she became known as his daughter because of her faith in him. The Bible doesn't say, but I can only imagine how relieved she was to renew relationships with other people after her seclusion. Will you step out to find your people? Or could you reach out to someone else in their isolation and loneliness? After all, someone reached out to this woman, or she wouldn't have known about Jesus. Who can you help today? Who can you be a friend to? There's a song by Drew Holcomb called Find Your People. It says, you've got to find your people, then you'll find yourself. We need God, and we need people for this journey. Our neighbor can walk alongside us, and we can help each other. And together, we can find God's grace in the wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.